Have you ever felt like you're playing a role rather than living as your authentic self? In Love Theoretically, we meet Elsie Hannaway, a brilliant physicist who's mastered the art of becoming whoever people need her to be. By day, she's an underpaid adjunct professor juggling positions across multiple universities. By night, she works for FOE, an elite agency providing fake dating services to clients needing temporary companions for social events. This quantum duality in her life mirrors the very particles she studies, existing in multiple states until observed. Elsie's chameleon-like ability began in childhood, with hyperactive twin brothers who monopolized her parents' attention. She learned invisibility as a survival strategy, becoming exquisitely attuned to others' expectations. This pattern followed her through MIT and Stanford, where she navigated competitive environments by becoming whatever her advisors needed. She's developed what she calls her APE protocol: assess what someone wants, plan how to become it, and enact the performance. A systematic approach that leaves little room for genuine self-expression. But this constant shape-shifting comes at a devastating personal cost. With each role she plays, Elsie loses touch with her authentic self, becoming increasingly uncertain about her own desires and identity. Elsie's compartmentalized life implodes when she discovers Jack Smith, her fake boyfriend's brooding brother, is actually Jonathan Smith Turner, the infamous experimental physicist heading MIT's Physics Institute. This revelation happens during her interview for a faculty position that could rescue her from adjunct purgatory. The academic world is ruthlessly divided between theoretical and experimental physicists, a rift stemming from Jack's controversial paper that exposed methodological flaws and destroyed Elsie's mentor's career. Elsie faces an impossible situation. Her future depends on impressing a hiring committee that includes the man who's seen through her fake relationship. The stakes are enormous. Currently teaching 9 courses across 3 universities without benefits, she desperately needs this position to advance her career and afford insulin for her type 1 diabetes. When they finally confront each other, their encounter crackles with tension. "I've hated you since I first read about you in Scientific American at age 12, she tells him, vowing to make his professional life miserable. Despite their professional antagonism, Jack and Elsie experience an undeniable attraction. During campus events, Jack sees through Elsie's carefully constructed personas to her authentic self, something both terrifying and liberating for her. "With Jack, I don't need to pretend," she realizes, finding unexpected freedom in his perceptiveness. Their connection deepens when Elsie experiences a diabetic episode and Jack responds with genuine concern rather than judgment. "It would be a waste for you to be anyone else," Jack tells her, becoming the first person to value her authentic self over her performative roles. Unlike her adopted personalities, her scientific ability remains genuine, the one area where she hasn't faked her way through. As their professional and personal worlds collide at faculty events, Jack's penetrating gaze seems to see through her completely. What begins as mutual distrust transforms into something more complex: recognition of each other's brilliance and growing curiosity about what lies beneath their professional facades. Elsie's walls begin to crumble when circumstances push her and Jack into closer proximity. After her fake boyfriend's emergency surgery, they have an honest conversation where Jack admits he's attracted to the real Elsie, not her performed personas. "Since meeting you 6 months ago," he confesses, "I've been drawn to you, noticing your vigilance, your ability to protect others, feeling jealous of your relationships." This leaves Elsie stunned, unable to process that someone could want her authentic self. Their relationship shifts further when Elsie loses the MIT position and breaks down in front of Jack, showing raw emotion rather than calculation. As they begin spending time together outside work, Jack consistently pushes Elsie toward authenticity. During dinner dates, he demonstrates perception that both unnerves and attracts her. I pay attention to you in a way I don't with others. This leads to vulnerable conversations where Elsie shares how she molded herself to please previous partners only to be discarded. Jack perceptively notes, you gave him a perfect version of you and he still didn't want you, cutting to the heart of Elsie's fear. Just as Elsie begins to trust Jack, she discovers his infamous divisive article was actually targeting her mentor for allegedly sabotaging Jack's mother's career years ago. This revelation sparks an explosive confrontation. Jack claims her mentor is controlling her career as he did his mother's, while Elsie feels betrayed by his dishonesty. The argument forces her to confront her own hypocrisy, criticizing others while accepting manipulation in her own professional life. Newly empowered, Elsie confronts her controlling mentor and discovers he's been hiding job offers from her. When challenged, he grows hostile, reminding her she owes her career to him. In a defining moment, Elsie corrects his persistent mispronunciation of her name before walking out. This becomes Elsie's first act of true self-determination. Rather than molding herself to please others, she acts on her own desires, filing a complaint against her former advisor, accepting an MIT position, and embracing her authentic self. After their revelations, Jack and Elsie both pursue authenticity. Jack publishes an open letter in a prestigious journal, admitting his infamous article stemmed from personal reasons rather than genuine belief that theoretical physics was inferior. By citing Elsie's work among valuable theoretical contributions, he publicly validates her scientific worth. Elsie begins reclaiming her authentic self. Her breakthrough comes when she confesses to her roommate about faking her love of art films. I hate all auteur-style movies, revealing her true preference for Twilight. Though surprised, her friend responds with acceptance. I will love you forever, even if you're an animal with no taste. When they reunite, their interaction reflects their commitment to honesty. Elsie boldly tells Jack she hates him, but might also love him, admitting her fear that greater intimacy might diminish his feelings. Jack responds with certainty. I want you, Elsie, all the time. There is no universe in which I'm going to let you go. Love, like theoretical physics, operates on principles beyond simple attraction and repulsion, requiring uncertainty, vulnerability, and authentic connection rather than carefully constructed personas. Elsie's journey from professional fake girlfriend to someone capable of genuine intimacy parallels her growth from struggling adjunct to respected researcher. Her ability to become whatever others want actually prevents real connection. She ultimately learns that love isn't about becoming what someone desires, it's about finding someone who wants exactly who you are, diabetes monitor and physics jokes included. As Jack reminds her, that's not how love works. True love adapts to accommodate reality, finding beauty in truth rather than illusion. The most powerful equation may be the simplest. Authenticity plus acceptance equals love. When we stop calculating how to please others and reveal our true selves, flaws, passions, and all, we create space for transformative connections rather than mere performances.